Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again on tonight. We thank God for this another day that he has made. And yes, tonight is Thursday night, March 30th, 2017. And yes, you are in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. And yes, we come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each Thursday night and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. I'm so excited to announce my special guest on tonight in the persons of Jose Dorsey. He's going to be bringing the word on tonight. He's going to be bringing us a short message from God on tonight through the word. So I'm asking all listeners, as I always do, get your Bibles, your sword, your Bible, your word. Get it out now. Get some pens and paper out so you can take notes and follow along with the man of God that's going to deliver God's word on tonight. And following his message on tonight, I'm going to be asking him a few questions that the Lord has put on my heart to ask him on tonight. So, yes, you are in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? Again, tonight is Thursday night, March the 30th, 2017. And we are going to open up in prayer as we always do. And I'm asking all listeners if you will go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve a God. He is so big and he's so awesome and so powerful. He can hear all of our prayers at the same time. Eternal God, the Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come once again to say thank you for this another day that you have made. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy toward us, Heavenly Father, in spite of ourselves. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who and all that you are. We thank you for, oh God, for your agape love toward us. Heavenly Father, that you searches our hearts and you sees what we're going to do. You know what we're going to do and you know what we're thinking before we even think and do or see or do these things. So we just thank you for who you are, Lord, and we thank you for your grace and mercy. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, for us saved, Heavenly Father, we can ask for forgiveness of our sins. In his name. So that's what we're asking right now, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, before we move forward in this broadcast, that you would forgive me, my guests on tonight, and our families, and all those that have tuned in, and all those that have been doing, you would forgive us of all our sins, Heavenly Father, and transgressions in Jesus' name, so that our prayers may not be hindered on tonight. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted in their bodies, minds, and spirit. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in Jesus' name. And then, oh God, we lift up all those that are bereaved all over the land. We know that earth still has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that may be tuned in on tonight that do not have a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, our personal relationship with him, who are not saved in his name on tonight. We pray, Lord, that as your word goes forth through Hosea on tonight, that someone, their spiritual eyes will become open on tonight, and they will be able to surrender their hearts and their minds and their bodies over to Jesus Christ as they open their mouth and ask him to come into their hearts and that it be, and ask him to save them in his name on tonight, that they will come to know their God purpose and they will walk and live and fulfill it in earth for your glory is our prayer on tonight. That you will be glorified in Jesus' name. And also, Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are being doers of your word over the airways, Heavenly Father, tonight. We lift them up to you, Heavenly Father. And all those that are, Heavenly Father, that are even trying to be doers of your word. That's why we're so grateful and know that you searches the heart. Man looks at the outside, but you searches our hearts. And so you know who have hidden motives and hidden agendas. And, oh, God, we just thank you for who you are. So that's why we give you glory. We give you honor and praise because you're worthy in Jesus' name. So we just ask you that you would move by your spirit on tonight over this airways. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought for tonight. And tonight's spiritual food for thought is really simple. And people really need to know this on today. Even in these last and evil days that we are living in, and we can still see the handwriting on the wall, and no matter what's going on in around America or in the world or in the White House, we need to know. And I thank God for this spiritual word for spiritual food for us tonight. Just simply know that God is still in control. Again, the spiritual food for thought for tonight is God is still in control. So that's what we need to know tonight, that God is still in control. He is, and he will always be in control, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we hear, see, or what we think. Know that God is still in control. Well, on tonight, I do have one announcement before I bring on my guest on tonight. I have one announcement that I'm so excited to announce. Before I do this announcement, I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants, ambassadors, vessels, and then click on follow. And I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, this announcement that I'm about to make, I am so excited. I know how the Lord works, and I thank God for him anointing and appointing and using my youngest sisters for such a time as this. He has blessed her to write a gospel play, and the title of this play is titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. Yes, Donetta Burney presents Opposite Ends of the Bridge is a gospel stage play that the Lord has blessed and anointed her to write. And it will be taking place on Saturday, May 13th, and then also on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 14th, at the Northwest Activities Paul Robeson Theater. The tickets are available now. They are available through God's World, which is on West 7 Mile in Detroit, Michigan, and also at Globe Bible Bookstore on East Jefferson in Detroit, Michigan. And for those that would like to order your tickets through computer, you can go through Eventbrite, www.eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com. If you need more information pertaining to this gospel stage play, you can contact this, go through this number, area code 313-231-4302. Again, this is a gospel stage play, and some of the cast members in this gospel stage play is none other than Evangelist Peggy James, Pastor Ron Todd, Pastor Rick Buck, also Minister Gerard Brooks. He's a well-known gospel artist and choir director. He was a choir director, one of our directors at my church, the Shield of Faith, for a couple of years. And so he's going to be one of the cast members in this play also. So that is coming up May 13th and 14th, 2017, this gospel stage play, Opposite Ends of the Bridge, presented by my younger sister, Danetta Burney. I am so excited for her and what the Lord is doing in her life. Well, right now, I have Brother Jose Dorsey. He's coming forth to us now. And again, I pray that you have your Bibles out and your pen and paper so you can take notes as we follow along with him and as he deliver God's word to us on tonight. And following his message on tonight, I'm going to be asking him a few questions that the Lord has placed on my heart to ask him. So I'm asking all listeners, if you can get your pens and papers out so you can follow along with him and as he delivers God's word on tonight. So, Brother Jose, I know that you're on the line. So if you could please come forth. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out and accept my invitation to be my special guest on tonight. So could you please share with the worldwide listeners, Brother Jose, like a short testimony first before we move forward in the program on tonight?
Okay, outstanding. Leading into that, in my testimony, I just would like to say, Brother James Brown, thank you for having me on your show during this time and sharing this worldwide platform with me. A little bit about myself is, truthfully, I don't know why God called me into ministry because I was not one of those kids that grew up in a church and I was always around church people and anything like that. When God called me, he placed a very heavy burden upon my heart to come and serve in ministry. And so I believed in God, but I did not have a really deep understanding of him, and I certainly didn't understand why he was calling me into ministry. I would begin to see signs and visions and different things that God was showing me through leading me into understanding that there was a calling on my life. Now, as a child, many people have told me that, you know, they saw this in my life, but, you know, I just thought that was something that all church people say. So, you know, as life began to go on for me, I found myself going into ministry and seeing a lot of things come true for me as far as, like, you know, God showed me that a lot of people would not be as receptive to my message because it was my message was about him and no one was above his word. And so for me, a traditional church setting would not fit for me. Coming into leadership, and I had opportunities to go in leadership in many different churches, traditional Baptist churches, but it just did not fit the format that God had pulled on my heart and how God was burdening me in ministry. So here it was, I started learning about church planting, which is something that is very fairly new in the African-American community. Usually through when we come into leadership in churches, it's usually through traditionally being appointed as pastor, or there's some type of church split that draws us out into a new kind of formation of a church. But, you know, I started learning about church planting, realized this is where God is drawing my heart. And I'm very pleased to say I pastored one of the most blessed church ministries that I've ever been a part of to this day. It's called Center of Spirit and Truth. We're a very small, intimate congregation. But I can say that people within the congregation truly love each other, and we're truly aspiring to really worship God in spirit and in truth. I hope I certainly shared a small token of my testimony. There's so much more I could share, but I know for the sake of time, I'll just leave it right there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And what a powerful testimony that is. And so that's why I ask all my guests to share their testimonies, because you have such a unique, powerful testimony. And you have, because of your calling at a young age, and you did not recognize what it was, but the Lord still saw fit that you heard his voice. And now you're walking in your calling. And so, sometimes we are in callings that everybody's not going to understand, but that's why I say I thank God that he is who he is, and he searches our heart, and he know what he put in us, and he know our purpose that he designed for us. And so everybody's not going to understand our purpose, but as long as we know our purpose, and it's to please God, and we're doing it from our hearts with our hidden motives and agendas, and that the Lord speaks to us through his Holy Spirit and through his word. So I thank God for you for being obedient, and now you're walking in your ministry and fulfilling it for God's glory. So we thank you for sharing that testimony. And somebody else needed to hear that, because they may be in the position that you was in, and God is trying to call them to a ministry that will be glorifying to him. So we thank you for that powerful testimony, Brother Dorsey, on tonight. So, that, again, that's why I have all listeners share all my guests share testimonies first, because God gets his glory through our testimonies, and he said in his words he will share his glory with no one. And someone else needs to hear our testimonies, because they can know that if God did it for us, if he brought you to a ministry or whatever, if he healed you or he saved you or delivered you from a sickness or death or whatever the case may be, you know it was God who did it, then you're supposed to stand up and be a witness for him and testify to the world and let them know that it was God who did it. So that's why I have all my guests share testimonies that God gave glory, and that someone else would know that if he did it for us, that same God, because he had no respect for persons, he can do it for you too. So we thank you for sharing that powerful testimony on tonight. Right now, we're going to do a short music break on tonight. And following this music break, Brother Dorsey is going to come back to us, and he's going to share with us a short message. And for those of you that, if we have time, I'm going to give out this phone number right now, just in case we have time for anyone that might want to have a comment or feedback to Brother Dorsey afterwards. You can dial area code 657-383-1364. Once again, you can dial area code 657-383-1364 after we conclude with Brother Dorsey, after he's done his message and concluding other questions. So we have time. That's the number you need to dial in to ask questions. But right now, we're going to do this short music break, and following that, we will come right back to Brother Dorsey, and he's going to deliver God's word.
Oh,
Yes, yes. I give you praise. He is so worthy to be praised. I thank God for who he is on tonight. I thank God that he's in my life. I thank God for you, my listeners. Those of you who are saved in Jesus' name, I thank God for each of you and my guests on tonight. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God it still works, and it would never lose its power. So we thank God that we have our praise on tonight. Well, and now I am so proud to be able to introduce my listeners for the first time. Jose Dorsey, he's going to be bringing the word to us on tonight. So, Brother Jose, I'm yielding the mic to you to deliver the word. And following your message on tonight, I will be asking you the questions that the Lord has placed on my heart to give to you or present to you on tonight. So the mic is yours to deliver God's word at this time.
Very briefly, I'd like to thank God for giving us the opportunity to come together on this platform to allow the word of God to go out over the airwaves and the virtual airwaves so that people have opportunity to receive the word. To all my friends, family, to the host, thank you for having us. It's certainly a blessing and an honor to be able to share at this time. Just really briefly, a very quick prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for blessing us with the honor to stand in John's shoes, to be able to enlighten someone about different nuances of your word. I ask that you allow Jose to decrease. Allow your principles, your word, your way, your presence, your providence, your prominence to increase even right now so that someone listening might be convinced and their lives might be changed in some way. I pray for that one that is listening that their lives might be transformed in some way to look more like you. And each day we come closer to be more and more your people as you embrace us as our God. We trust you and we believe you and we declare that it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is going to be coming from Matthew, the 16th chapter, dealing with verse 13. Very popular passage of scripture, certainly one of my favorite texts because it really draws enlightenment as to how we should actually look at God, how we should see God, and how actually there's an expectation from the divine on humanity in viewing him. And so we'll begin to unpack that as we go into this word. The Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came, I'm reading from the King James Version, into the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Last clause that I'm dealing with in this text is, "And I will give thee," verse 19, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." From this passage of scripture, I would like to take for a subject very briefly, quickly, of the thought, you better recognize. Many times we go through life, we look at different situations and circumstances around us, and sometimes we tend to ask, where is God in the midst? There's somebody right now that is in a situation wondering if God even cares for them. So many people are walking around not even knowing if God exists because they have not seen in their lives where his hand have been working for them, through them, and allowing them to actually experience his presence. And so many times we get confused when we actually see how God is moving, and we don't actually recognize that it's actually him moving for us. When I was coming into ministry, I did not understand the visions that God had given me. I did not understand what he was trying to do in my life. And so I was resistant against him because I just could not recognize that it was him. I didn't know if it was a good idea for me to go and preach messages, for me to go out and stand on the word. Was it self looking for glory, or was it truly God moving in my life? As a matter of fact, I did not know God as intimately, and therefore I didn't even understand why he was calling me into the ministry to begin with. So here it was. I just did not recognize when it was him. Today I want to tell somebody, you better recognize. You need to recognize when God is extending his presence in your life. You need to recognize that although Trump might be the president and sit in the Oval Office, that Christ still king, and he is in heaven on the right hand of the Father. You better recognize where each and every one of your blessings come from. You better recognize that every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from on high. You better recognize that the reason why you are here, the reason why you are able to have the breath that you have in your lungs, the reason why resources like to run low but they never run out, is because Almighty God is still sustaining you. You better recognize that he is a God that sits on high, looks down low, and neither sleep nor slumber. So here it is. I began to analyze this passage of scripture that we have before us, and I recognized that Jesus was coming from the borders of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples a very interesting question, because if you really analyze the question, you'll find that Jesus both asked them the question and he gave them the answer at the same time. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I understand that when God is asking us questions, it's not because he does not understand or does not know the answer. We can't say that God is all-knowing, that he's all-powerful, that he's everywhere at the same time, that he has all power in his hands, and then turn around and say he don't know what's going on in a particular situation. He knows your every dealing. He knows your every thought. He knows the intents and the purposes of your heart. He knows every single thing. So when God is asking us a particular question, it's because he wants us to understand a particular truth about a situation for ourselves. Let me make this more evident. If you flip over into the book of Genesis, you'll find that when Adam and Eve had bit the fruit and then they went and hid themselves, here come God walking in the garden. He says, "Hey, where you at?" And man says, he said, "Look, I went and hid myself because I was naked." Now understand that when God was asking Adam, "Where are you?" it was not because he did not understand his physical position. Some theologians argue that the sin separates us from God, and they were so hidden that God did not know where they were. That's a lie from the gates of hell, because God himself did know. But he wanted Adam and Eve to understand the depth of their transgression. So he allowed them to be asked the question, "Where are you?" So here it is in verse 13. Jesus asks, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" We have a very distinct responsibility and expectation from God himself that we understand the community around us. Now watch this. Both the spiritual community, yes, those of our brothers and sisters that we hold hands and we fellowship and we worship within the sanctuary, and also those who are outside the community of believers but are also in our network or in our community of association. It's very apparent in this scripture, because he said, who do men say that I am? Meaning that he expected an answer from the disciples. We as disciples, he expecting us on a daily basis to be able to have an answer, to stand ready and equipped with an answer to this question, because we have a responsibility that as we're going out into the highways and the byways and we're carrying out ministry, to understand the context of those within our communities. So watch this. In verse 14, they said, "And some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Well, we understood how he could not be John the Baptist, because him and John the Baptist was alive at the same time and both incarnate, so that was impossible. So once again, that was a misperception of the people. We have to understand when people are not receiving or misperceiving the word of God. This is very important right here, because many times we'll take the masses ideology and we'll take that to be our gospel. Yeah, and see, now I'm about to hit real hard real quick, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but, you know, God says in his word that the woman was created for the man. But here it is within our society context. We said that it's okay that there is same-sex marriage. Well, first of all, the Bible does not call same-sex to be a marriage. I'm sorry, you can call it whatever you want to, but God allowed the woman to be made for the man. So essentially what we have to do is understand how our community, our world community, is misperceiving the word of God. And then understanding how they misperceive the word of God, we have a responsibility to re-educate them according to his word. It's in others, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. Now, being called a prophet might be a noble designator. But the reality is that Jesus was more than just a prophet. This is one of the areas where the Muslims make the mistake. The Muslims look at Jesus and say, well, he was just a good man, or he was just a prophet. Well, if you actually examine that, you look in the Quran, you'll find that Jesus was mentioned more time within the Quran than Muhammad himself. And so the Muslim looks at the Quran and they value it, and they also esteem Muhammad much more above Jesus. But why is Jesus mentioned more? It has to be a question that needs to, like, really stand out in our minds. It's because even through looking at the Quran in so many different ways will give the evidence that Jesus was much more than a prophet. So if we only see Jesus as a prophet, the problem is we don't see him as the Christ. And when we miss him as the Christ, essentially, we miss him as the one that can give us redemption and salvation. I wish I was preaching. And so if you miss the salvation and the redemption, then ultimately then we're still in our sins. So we have to see Jesus high and lifted up as the Christ. Verse 15, he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Okay, now I understand that you have some level of understanding about your community around you. And that is a requirement that God has on his agenda for us. But at the same time, God is now saying to us, how do you see me? Now, I know how the community sees me. I understand that you understand how they see me. But now as the believer, as the one who is sitting here saying, I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable always in ministry with you, oh God. I'm going to hold on to your unchanging hand. Okay, you're going to hold on, but who say ye that I am? Who do you believe me to be? And something very profound happens because Simon Peter stands up and he says, he answered and said, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the one that God has sent essentially in calling him the Christ. This is what Peter is saying. You are the one whom God himself has sent to allow us to receive as our king, as our kinsman redeemer, as the one who sacrificed or will sacrifice for us to redeem our sin. The Son of the living God. Now, I try to share people with this. Whenever Jesus was speaking and calling himself the Son of God, this is very very interesting for us to know. We look at Son in our regular everyday language, as our modern-day language, as being like, okay, this is the child up. So when Jesus was saying that he was the Son of God, why were they upset and wanted to stone him? It's because essentially when you examine the word son, especially in the Greek and in the specific way in which it's being used right here, it means the order of. Watch this. I'm going to get you there. So when you use it as the order of, then what you understand is what Jesus is saying and essentially what Peter was saying here. He said, Jesus, you are the Christ, the anointed one who come to bring salvation to man. Watch this. But you are also of the order of God. Oh. If I am saying that Jesus is of the order of God, and Jesus himself said that I am the Son of God, indicating that he is of the order of God, then essentially what Jesus is saying, that I am also God himself. Let's flip over into the book of John. The Bible says that Jesus, it teaches us that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word that became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we flip under, we understand that Jesus is that Word wrapped up in flesh because Jesus is God. Jesus has deity. And so in understanding the deity of Christ, this is not something that comes from the flesh. This is something that is made manifest through God the Father himself as evidence in the next verse. When Jesus is saying, The Bible says in 17, and Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Many people are going to walk around not understanding who they are or whose they are because they have not come to this realization and understanding of God. They have not come to this realization and understanding of who Christ is because they have not made that spiritual connection with the Father himself. Today I'm telling somebody that for your own sake, you better recognize who Jesus really is. You better recognize that he has deity. You better recognize that he has providence. You better recognize that he has all power wrapped up in himself because he is God. Able to give us every single promise of redemption, every single promise that he says for us in his word. You better recognize who he really is. You better get that connection made with the Father right now so he can reveal to you who Jesus is so you also can receive the promises that every believer has. See, we need to get to that place because eternity is a very long time, folks. Eternity is a very long time. And so I would not want to see somebody bust a hell wide open and hell is real. And I know people get mad when you preach fire and brimstone. Amen. But if it's real and I don't tell you about it and then you experience it, then on the flip side about it, somebody is spending eternity being mad at Jose. And we can't have that. See, I need to get you to a place where you understand it is what it really is. So that you can have due and timely notice, govern yourself accordingly in the physical, so you don't incur the penalty in the spiritual. I wish I was preaching. So here it is. We need to get connected. We need to recognize that we need that relationship with the Father. We need that relationship with the Son. We need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And when we come to that yielding, when we get to the place where we are able to surrender ourselves, that is when the spiritual knowledge will begin to be given to us directly from God the Father himself. Such a blessing it is to understand that God's going to directly have this kind of, he's going to spiritually download this information into me where I come into an elevated sense of understanding. Yes, I will spiritually recognize exactly who he is. Verse 18, and here it is, he says, Jesus said, and I say unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, this is one of the places where Catholics use, and I'm not certainly here to bash anyone. I am here to give understanding. Catholics use this verse to actually justify having popes and establishing their hierarchy within Catholicism. And I just want to tell somebody today that, you know, that about the lie from the gates of hell when we misunderstand the scripture. You better recognize that Jesus is not saying that I'm going to give this pope or this particular person, this flesh person, the foundation of which I'm going to build my church. When you look at this passage of scripture, it says, and I said to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now, first of all, he said that first, you are Peter. You are a Petros. I'm sorry. You are Petros. Petros means a stone in the Greek. You are Petros. You are a stone. But upon this rock, watch this, if you flip over into the Greek, you understand that that word rock means Petra, which simply means the rock. So you are a rock, Peter, but understand that I am the rock. I wish I was preaching today. I am the rock. I am the very foundation, the very basis, the very cornerstone of this church. See, if he had built the church upon Peter, then being built upon man, it would surely fall. Man does not have the spiritual fortitude to which allow a very foundation of such a strong institution, a spiritual organization as well as spiritual organism of church to be built upon. No, instead, you know, he had to build it upon himself because God is not like man. God cannot lie. He's ineffable. He's infallible. He's all-powerful. He knows everything. So he had to build the church upon himself. He said, upon this rock, he is the solid rock. He is the rock of ages. He is the very rock. You better recognize
who God is talking about here. He's talking about he's going to allow himself to be the very foundation of his church. This is the reason why Peter says this way. I'm sorry, Paul teaches us that we must teach Christ and him crucified. Otherwise, we bring to you a totally different gospel. Jesus is the foundation. Last verse, it says, and I would give to you the keys, excuse me, of the kingdom of heaven. When you recognize who I am now, I'm going to empower you. I don't know who you are listening to this message today, but God is waiting with a big thing of power just to download into your life just when you begin to recognize who he is. I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Understand this. Whoever those enemies are, whoever those hindrances are, whatever those mountains are, whatever those giants are, whatever that thing is that's standing in your way, God says when you recognize who I am, when you operate according to my principles, when we are connected and I download the divine information into you, I'm going to empower you that through your life, through your very being, you're going to be having the power of God that will actually exist right here on earth. Yes, you're going to be able to say something that is going to be bound and is going to be bound. You're going to be able to say something that is going to be loosed and it shall be loosed because God has definitely empowered you. Now, I don't want you to be fooled here today. There's a faith clause in here because without faith, it is impossible to please God, and all of this happens by faith. That is the reason why he's given the keys of the kingdom in the first place, because by faith, that is how we yield to God. By faith, that is how we please him. It says, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, God says, my word shall not come back to me null and void. When God has empowered you, when you recognize him for who he is and you allow yourself to yield to him and he empowers you, he said, look, if you do it down here, it's going to be done up there. So therefore, how can you lose if you have divine God behind you? I keep trying to tell people one plus God is a majority. I don't care how many enemies stand against you. I don't care how they talk about you at your job. I don't care how they throw in the towel on you. I don't care how they scandalize your name. I don't care how they intend for you to fail, fall. I don't care how they intend for you to falter. But understand on this day that when God has empowered you, if God said it, that seven, tell somebody today, you need to recognize. Hallelujah. That whatever you bound, whatever you loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people are walking around so bound by the vexes of the enemy because they don't know how to loose, because they have not yet recognized who he is. You better recognize so that you can loose yourself for some of the devices of the enemy. Loose yourself for those things that are keeping you bound and held back. Loose yourself from that bad situation that you could have came out of long time ago. Loose yourself from everything that's seeking to destroy you. I'm not saying that it's going to automatically go away, but I'm saying that you're going to be empowered in the middle of your situation. What does that mean, man? Let me do it like this. He said he'll set a table for you in the presence of your enemy. You're going to eat good. You're going to live good. And your enemy is going to be all around you, and there ain't a thing that they can do about it. You better recognize. And so, listen, I believe that the reason why Jesus went up on the cross is so that you can understand and see him as Savior. Jesus was treated like he did everything wrong so that you and I could be treated like we did everything right. He wanted you to see that he had the greatest love. The Bible says that no greater love has a man than this, than he that would lay down his life for his friends. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He did the sacrificial, the biggest sacrifice, the lamb slain since the foundation of the world, just so that when he went up on the tree, when they lifted him up high, that he would draw all men unto himself, not just to see a spectacle, not just to see a man die, but to see one of the greatest triumphs in history, just so that you can see him high and lifted up so that you would recognize. Now, see, he's not doing it just for ego. He's not doing it just for recognition. He actually did it for you and I. Because when you recognize him as Savior and you receive him the way he's supposed to be in your life, then you have salvation. You have redemption.
you have empowerment, and you have triumph. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord on tonight. That is a powerful message on tonight. Oh, my Lord, yes, you better recognize, and I'm touching in agreement with that message on tonight. Sometimes it don't take a long message to get God's word across because he speaks through his word. And I thank God that he spoke through you, his vessel, on tonight for such a time as this.
Amen.
That we, people of God, even people who are saved in Jesus' name, still need to recognize, because some of them are still, I think, kind of sleeping on the job, and they need to wake up and recognize who God is and who Jesus is, and also recognize and know for what's the time that we're living in, and recognize and know that Jesus Christ, that same one that died on the cross, he rose again, and he's now sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for the saints of God right now, but sooner or later, he's coming back again to receive his church's bride. Thank God for the word on tonight. And we thank God for you, Brother Bussy, on tonight. So you continue, this is my prayer, that the Lord will continue to anoint you, continue to strengthen you, that you will continue to stand on the word and declare it, continue to be a doer of God's word, that somebody can see Jesus Christ in you, and that your living is not in vain, that God is glorified through you. That's what my prayer is for you on tonight. So right at this time, Brother Dorsey, I have a few questions that I have for you, and hopefully we have a chance to go through them all. If not, I'll just and then following that, if we have time, I'm going to see if we can open up the phone lines. So my first question, and again, thank you for that powerful word on tonight. I was blessed by it.
Amen.
I've heard the scripture many times, different ways, but every time I hear it, I get something new out of it. And so you have enlightened me again through this powerful word on tonight. You better recognize. You better recognize who God is. Well, my question for
Amen.
You tonight, this question to you, Brother Doris, is why is it important to know our individual God purpose?
I think it's very important for us to know our individual God purpose because it helps us to actually have perspective on who we are and whose we are. I think a lot of people live vicariously and they live carelessly because we actually don't understand our purpose. We need to understand that, one, God gives us our purpose. True purpose comes from God. We need to also understand, too, is that your purpose really is not about you. Wait a minute. Hey, that sounds like a contradiction when I say that your purpose is not about you. No, when your purpose comes from God, your purpose is about someone else. That when he told us over in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore to all nations, baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Essentially, that was all about evangelizing the worldwide community. So as we understand more about our purpose, it'll help us to see that it's not all about us. Another thing that we need to see is that God created us, and when he created us, he saw that it was good. Every creation that he made, when you flip over into the book of Genesis, you see that it was everything that he created, he saw that it was good. That was good. And so he created you because he wanted to have fellowship with you. He created you because he wanted to actually enjoy you. And when you look at yourself through God's eyes, it helps you to understand that you have a responsibility to live your life pleasing unto God. We need to have faith to please him. We need to have faith to even receive that token of knowledge right there, brother. And so essentially,
Amen.
When we do that, we understand more of our purpose. Amen. Yes.
Amen. And God, that's what our desire is for each one of us, because it's not. We have a purpose for one of our lives that only we can fulfill. And so that's why I always let each person know that they're bringing this question up to me. I don't know. They may say to me, I in the 70s and 80s. But God wants you to know your purpose. So I simply tell them, yes, if you don't know your God purpose, you're still living, you're still breathing, it's simple. Pray sincerely from your heart, because without your heart, you know if you're sincere or not. Pray sincerely and ask God to reveal to you what your God purpose is, because he wants you to know it, because he wants you to fulfill it in the earth for his glory. So I thank you for that answering and that question. And so, yes, God, He is our individual God purpose, because only you, Brother Dorsey, can fulfill your God purpose, and only I can fulfill my God purpose in the earth. So I thank God for you for that question and how you answered it, and then you give us scriptures to back it up. So my next question to you is, how should the unsaved see Jesus in us as Christians? How should the unsaved see Jesus Christ in us as Christians?
Well, I looked at Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through 26, and one of the things I realized is that when people looked at the Christians, Christian wasn't a designator that we actually took for ourselves. It was actually that the communities around us, the communities of unbelievers, they looked at how the people actually continue in the principles of Jesus Christ, how people actually believed him, and how they actually continue in the suffering. The persecution of the church was still against them, but yet they still continue to maintain their convictions. And this is how the worldwide community should look at us. This is how the unsaved should see us. It should be like a light shining in each and every one of us. Matthew 5 and 16 said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works." We need to continue on in the principles of Christ, doing the work of the ministry. See, we miss that. We say, "Let your light shine," but we miss the fact that the Bible says, "So that they may see your good work." What good work are we talking about? The work of the ministry, the work of actually operating and living Christ's principles. So when they see your good work, it's not about you. It's not about me. But he said, when they see your good work, they're going to glorify your God in heaven. Wait, I see that light inside of you. I want to come a little bit closer to the fire. I want that light to transform my life. So when they come believing the God that you believe, then they're transformed, and then ultimately they have a piece of that light.
Amen. And then also to add to that, also because how people can see Jesus Christ in us is how we love one another, how we treat our brothers and sisters. Those that we say that we know are saved in Jesus' name, and then if we say that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we even love those that are not saved, but we're talking against them and backstabbing one another, that's not showing love. So the Lord said in his word,
amen,
that the world would know that we are healed by the way we love, how the unsaved see Jesus Christ. That's another way, is how the unsaved can see Jesus Christ, and how we love one another according to the word of God. My next question to you is, how are we to do greater work? To do greater works today as Christians? How are we to do greater
work? Well, you know, Jesus said that we would do greater works than what he did, and I think some people are really confused as to what that means, because certainly we're not greater than Christ himself. However, you go back to the mandate within the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, again, "Go ye therefore unto all nations." Understand that Jesus Christ's ministry within his life, within the span of the world, was very limited as far as the spectrum of the world. He didn't go all over the entire globe, right? So then when you imagine how the word actually spread through the believing community, which was very at that time, Jesus, being God in the flesh, he knew that this word would actually spread out. He knew that it would take wings and begin to blossom. And so, well, how can we allow people to see? Jesus Christ laid his hand on people, and then their eyes opened up, and they were able to see. Well, when you begin to expound the word of God to someone, it helps them to spiritually, watch this, open their eyes, huh? They might have been blind and lost before, but now they're found and they can see. So that's a great feat. It might not be such a physical feat as the miracle of allowing the blind to physically see, but it's such a monumental blessing to be able to have someone actually come out of the darkness into his marvelous light because we share the word. So there's like so many different things that we are empowered to do. The Bible teaches us in Acts 1 and 8 that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all over the world. Essentially, if you really look at how Jesus was mentioning it, you look at it on a map, you'll see that he started within a central community, a local community, and it spread out to more of like a regional community, and then it actually spread out even further to a national community and then a worldwide community, which really the expectation is. So because we have the ability to spread the word of God and take it to different levels just by being obedient to him, greater works we were able to do because more people would have the opportunity to hear his word. And now we look at how many people all over the world have come into the light of the gospel because we actually passed the gospel along. This is what Jesus was referring to.
Amen. And also to answer that, that is, you're so right, and you're head on with that. And to add on to what you just said, God for the internet. See now, because like you were saying, I'm paraphrasing more or less what you were saying, because Jesus was one person. He can only be at one place at one time in the flesh. But we know as God, he's everywhere at the same time. But in his flesh, he can only be at one in one place at one time. But so when he said that he was going away, and he said greater works that we should be able to do, I think he was including. He already knew what was in the future. So he already knew about the internet and how we can have newspapers and the television and radios and how we can reach more people. So I think that's also included in as Christians today, being able to do greater works on behalf of the kingdom of God through our ministry, through the internet, we can reach more people. And so I thank God for
Amen.
That. And so I thank God. That's why I thank God for this worldwide platform. And I thank God that I know that it's not about me, that I'm just a vessel that he's using. And I thank God that he gave me that spirit that's not a selfish spirit like some people have. And it's sad to say that some church people that are saved have haughty, ugly spirits. And when the Lord opened the door for them to be able to be a blessing to the kingdom of God, they take it and they hoard that spirit and keep it to themselves. But I thank God that I'm not like that. And I thank God that he's not like man, and he searches the heart, and that I'm able to share this worldwide platform with other men and women of the gospel to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ through the word. So that, and such as Brother Jose Dorsey on tonight. That's why I thank God for the worldwide internet and for this internet radio worldwide platform that I can share with such people as Brother Dorsey on tonight. Brother Dorsey, yeah. I'm going to ask you one more question. I did have other questions, but I do want to ask you a kind of personal question that I think that every Christian should really ask themselves. And before I ask you this question, this kind of ties into my final announcement for tonight. God has blessed me to write part two of my book. That is the title of my radio show, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God, which also has a reflective journal with it. This is the title of my book that the Lord blessed me to write, and that's how this radio show came
Amen.
About. And that's how I got this title. Now God has blessed me to write part two of this book, and part two is titled Are You Scattering God's Flock? And so that book is now available through Amazon.com as well. But so it all goes back to my final question. I wanted to get that out to the listeners and let them know that part two of Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God is now available at Amazon.com. And the title of that book is Are You Scattering God's Flock? But that goes back to my final question to Brother Dorsey on tonight. And this is a personal question for each one of us. Why is it your desire to please God?
It is my desire to please God because God, he first loved us. John 15:13 says, greater love have no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. I recognize that Jesus was telling us one of the greatest love stories throughout all of history and demonstrating it at the same time. He said, no greater love have a man than this, and then he actually did it. The Bible says that, teaches me that God is very emotional. He didn't just love us, but the Bible teaches us, John 3:16, that he so loved the world that he gave his son. And so because God so loved us, that despite the fact that we transgressed against him, he still saw fit to make a way for us that we might still be saved, redeemed, and have an opportunity for reconciliation. And because God first loved me, I chose to take my life and love him back. And prayerfully share
Amen.
His word so everyone else can do the same.
Amen, and that's what it's all about. Thank you so much, Brother Dorsey, on tonight. My time is running out. I'm about to get ready to close out tonight's program, but I just want to say take the time out to personally thank you for delivering such a powerful word, for answering the questions, and I know that someone was blessed by your testimony as well. So continue to stand on the wall, continue to do God's word, and haven't seen nothing yet. The best for you and your ministry and family is still yet to come. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Well, tonight, I thank my listeners for tuning in faithfully. And, yes, we are about to close out for tonight. And I thank you all for tuning in faithfully. Continue to tune in and share the news about this broadcast because it's about Jesus Christ. It's not about me or my guests. It's about souls being saved through the word. So that's what this ministry is all about. So I thank God for you, my listeners. Know that I love you. God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord as we get ready to close out in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, is in Jesus' name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being allowed another chance to be able to spread the word, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, and let the people know you still be recognized tonight through the blood. Bless him, his life, his ministry, and the works of his hands. Continue to bless those that are listening, that do know Jesus Christ, touch their hearts and their minds, that they would open their spiritual eyes to become open, that they would be able to open their own mouth Christ, and that's to be saved in his name. For the glory is our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and toward us in spite of ourselves. Thank you for who you are, that we know that you are so grateful. We thank you, coming King, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, and tonight, again, know that God loves you and know that I love you too. Until the next time, good night.
You thought I was worth saving, so you